Lesson 10. Text A. Quick Fix Society. Janet Mendel Goldenstein. Pre-class work 3. Read the text a third time. Learn the new words and expressions listed below. Glossary. Advocate. Amusement. Antique. Bicentennial. Briefing. Cabinet. Carriage. Checkerboard. Civil. Compress. Condense. Confederate. Convenience. Defer. Diet. Digest. Dutch. Eagle. Fax. Featureless. Gorgeous. Gratification. Heard. Iceberg. Ignore. Infect. Interstate. Lane. Linger. Liposuction. Microwave. Miles per hour. Outlet. Overnight. Pastoral. Paycheck. Pennsylvania. Polaroid. Pre-digest. Refresh. Revitalize. Root. Salad. Scenery. Screen. Skim. Slide. Spicy. Subtle. Superficial. Superficially. Supermarket. Symbolically. Symphony. Theme. Tour. Turnpike. Urge. Version. VCR. West Virginia. Pre-class work 1. Read the text once for the main idea. Do not refer to the notes, dictionaries, or the glossary yet. My husband and I just got back from a week's vacation in West Virginia. Of course, we couldn't wait to get there, so we took the Pennsylvania Turnpike and a couple of interstates. "Look at those gorgeous farms," my husband exclaimed as pastoral scenery slid by us at 55 miles per hour. "Did you see those cows?" But at 55 miles per hour, it's difficult to see anything. The gorgeous farms look like moving green checkerboards, and the herd of cows is reduced to a few dots in the rearview mirror. For 4 hours, our only real amusement consisted of counting exit signs and wondering what it would feel like to hold still again. Getting there certainly didn't seem like half the fun. In fact, getting there wasn't any fun at all. So, when it was time to return to our home outside of Philadelphia, I insisted that we took a different route. "Let's explore the countryside," I suggested. The 2 days it took us to make the return trip were filled with new experiences. We toured a Civil War battlefield and stood on the little hill that 15,000 Confederate soldiers had tried to take on another hot July afternoon 125 years ago, not knowing that half of them would get killed in the vain attempt. We drove slowly through main streets of sleepy Pennsylvania Dutch towns, slowing to 20 miles an hour so as not to crowd the horses and horse carriages on their way to market. We admired toy trains and antique cars in country museums and saved 70% in factory outlets. We stuffed ourselves with spicy salads and homemade bread in an all-you-can-eat farmhouse restaurant, then wandered outside to enjoy the sunshine and the herds of cows. No little dots this time, lying in it. And we returned home, refreshed, revitalized and re-educated. This time, getting there had been the fun. Why is it that the featureless turnpikes and interstates are the routes of choice for so many of us? Why doesn't everybody try slowing down and exploring the countryside? But more and more, the fast lane seems to be the only way for us to go. In fact, most Americans are constantly in a hurry, and not just to get from point A to point B. Our country has become a nation in search of the quick fix in more ways than one. Now instead of later. Once upon a time, Americans understood the principle of deferred gratification. We put a little of each paycheck away for a rainy day. If we wanted a new sofa or a week at a lakeside cabin, we saved up for it. And the banks helped us out by providing special Christmas club and vacation club accounts. If we lived in the right part of the country, we planted corn and beans and waited patiently for the harvest. If we wanted to be thinner, we simply ate less of our favourite foods and waited patiently for the scale to drop, a pound at a time. But today we aren't so patient. We take out loans instead of making deposits, or we use our credit card to get that furniture or vacation trip. Relax now, pay later. We buy our food, like our clothing, ready-made and off the rack. And if we're in a hurry to lose weight, we try the latest miracle diet, guaranteed to take away 10 pounds in 10 days, unless we're rich enough to afford liposuction. Faster instead of slower. Not only do we want it now, we don't even want to be kept waiting for it. This general impatience, the I hate to wait attitude, has infected every level of our lives. Instead of standing in line at the bank, we withdraw $20 in as many seconds from an automatic teller machine. Then we take our fast money to a fast convenience store. Why wait in line at the supermarket, where we buy a frozen dinner all wrapped up and ready to be put into the microwave, unless we don't care to wait even that long and pick up some fast food instead. And if our fast food doesn't agree with us, we hurry to the medicine cabinet for, you guessed it, some fast relief. We like fast pictures, so we buy Polaroid cameras. We like fast entertainment, so we record our favourite TV show on the VCR. We like our information fast, too. Messages flashed on a computer screen, documents faxed from your telephone to mine. Current events in 90-second bursts on Eyewitness News. History reduced to bicentennial minutes. Symbolically, the American Eagle now flies for express mail. How dare anyone keep America waiting longer than overnight? Superficially instead of thoroughly. What's more, we don't even want all of it. Once we lingered over every word of a classic novel or the latest bestseller. Today, since faster is better, we read the condensed version or put a tape of the book into our car's tape player to listen to on the way to work. Or we buy the Cliff's Notes, especially if we're students, so we don't have to deal with the book at all. Once, we listen to every note of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. Today, we don't have the time. Instead, we can enjoy 26 seconds of that famous da-da-da-dum theme and 99 other musical excerpts, almost as famous, on our greatest moments of the classic CD. After all, why waste 45 minutes listening to the whole thing when someone else has saved us the trouble of picking out the best parts? Our magazine articles come to us pre-digested in Reader's Digest. Our news briefings, thanks to USA Today, are more brief than ever. Even our personal relationships have become compressed. Instead of devoting large parts of our days to our loved ones, we replace them with something called quality time, which, more often than not, is no time at all. As we rush from book to music to news item to relationship, we do not realize that we are living our lives by the iceberg principle, paying attention only to the top and ignoring the 8/9 that lies just below the surface. When did it all begin? This urge to do it now, to get it over with, to skim the surface of life. Why are we in such a hurry to save time? And what are we going to do with all the time we save besides? Of course, rushing out to save some more. The sad truth is that we don't know how to use the time we save, because all we're good at is saving time, not spending time. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we should go back to growing our own vegetables or making our own clothes. I'm not even advocating a mass movement to cut all our credit cards into little pieces. But I am saying that all of us need to think more seriously about putting the brakes on our "we want it all and we want it now" lifestyle before we speed completely out of control. Let's take the time to read every word of that story, hear every note of that music, and enjoy every subtle change of that countryside. Let's rediscover life in the slow life.